I want to start this morning by telling you about a man named Will Hall. You may not know him, may never have heard of that name, but I hope that you'll remember it even at the lesson's end. Will Hall is a coach. He coaches the Southern Miss football team, the Golden Eagles. And Will Hall is a young coach, but he's an up-and-coming coach. He's a class act, and I want you to know a little bit about him this morning. He played Alabama this year in the fourth game of the season. He signed up to play Alabama because it drew some national attention to Southern Miss, and it provided a pretty good payday. Little schools will play big schools because they get paid to come in and take a beating and go home and fund their athletic program, and so he was willing to do that. It was a night game. It was played at 7 o'clock at night. It wasn't over till about 10 o'clock, and the game ended as most imagined it would, 63-14. But it wasn't what happened on the field that I want to talk to you about. It was what happened off the field. It was what happened when they went back to the locker room that really got my attention. I went back to the visitors' locker room, and Will Hall said, "I want this place clean. I want all the trash picked up. I want all the water bottles picked up. I want all the tape picked up. I want the dirt on the floor swept up. Southern Miss leaves things better than they found them." That's impressive in our day and age. Most football programs simply walk out and leave it the way it is. Or some of them may even do worse than that. They may tear some things up because they didn't like the play on the field, or they didn't like the calls of the ref, or because they didn't like the outcome. But he said, "No, we're going to leave things better than we found them, because this represents us, who we are and who we want to be and how we want people to see us." I think there's a good message in that, but what got me thinking is this. If a worldly organization, if a football team, says we want to leave the world better than we found it, what should be true of us as Christians? What should be true of us as a church? Shouldn't every place we go and everything we do and everything that we're involved in, shouldn't we want to leave it better than we found it? Shouldn't we want to leave the workplace better than we found it? More honesty, less gossip, more unity, more peace, more togetherness, more teamwork, whatever it is, we leave it better than we found it. We go into the school system, we want to leave that place better than we found it. We want to leave it full of more respect, more of giving of honor, more of studiousness and working hard. Leave it better than we found it. Our neighborhood. We want to leave our neighborhood better than we found it. For our neighborhood to say, "I like the people that live in that house. They always have a smile on their face. They always wave at you. They always come and check on you. They always keep their yard in a certain way or do this or do that." Leave it better than you found it. I'll tell you somebody who left the world better than he found it. And that's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He found a dark world, but he brought light to it. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "Those that sat in darkness have seen great light." That great light was Jesus. He came into a dark world, into a dark region or area of that world, Capernaum, Galilee, and he brought light to those folks. He made his community, he made his place of birth, he made the place where he grew up, he made the place where he chose to live better than it was before. Brought light to it. You know, that verse says, Matthew 4 and verse 16, talks about those that sat under the shadow of death, light rising to them. And Jesus came into a world that was under the shadow of death. Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15 tells us that men were living in the fear of death. And that Jesus took upon Himself our nature, flesh and blood, that He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Jesus came to take away our fear of death. He came to leave the world a better place than He found it. Jesus came into this world that was filled with sin, and He left it better than He found it. He left it without sin. He had no sin. He left it with us having the ability to wash away our sins. He came to set the captive free, Isaiah 61 and verse 1. And the Bible encourages us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith He has made us free. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Jesus came into this world and He left it better than He found it. In the Sermon on the Mount, the text that we're going to study today, Jesus is encouraging us to do the same thing. You know, a lot of the New Testament is encouraging us to do that, and maybe we miss the message, maybe we never really see what Jesus is saying, but Jesus is saying, I want you to leave the world a better place than you found it. You know, we have three options when it comes to the world. We can leave it the same way we found it. We can leave it worse than we found it. Or we can leave it better than we found it. If we leave it the same way we found it, that's a wasted life. Why did we live? Why were we here? What difference did we make? If the world remains the same after we leave that it was when we got here, then what difference did we make? That's a wasted life. Jesus doesn't want us to waste our lives. But if we leave it worse than we found it, that's a wicked life. That's adding to the wickedness. That's adding to the sin. That's adding to the darkness and the discouragement of our world. Our world has enough of that. We don't need to add to it. Or we can make our world better than it was when we found it. That's a wise life. That's using our lives in a wise way. You know, James is going to tell us in James chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, the wisdom that comes from above. It's first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, and without partiality and hypocrisy. James says, I want you to live a wise life. And here's the characteristics of that wise life. Here's the characteristic of a life that leaves the world better than it found it. That's the kind of life Jesus wants us to lead. That's the kind of life He was talking about in the Sermon on the Mount. He's laying out the principles of the kingdom. He's saying, this is what it means to be a part of my kingdom. This is the influence that my kingdom has. This is the way I want my kingdom to represent itself to the world. This is the way I want people to know you and see you. Somebody that leaves things better than they found them. I want to talk about five things, as time allows us today, that if we're going to leave the world better than we found it, then these five things have to be true of us. First of all, we have to be peacemakers if we're going to leave the world better than we found it. You know, the Sermon on the Mount begins in an interesting way. You understand why Jesus is the master teacher. You understand why He gets right to the heart of the problem, and when He's building something, He builds it from the foundation up. And so He says, first of all, let's get your attitude right. These are the attitudes that need to be true of you. If you're going to make the world better than you found it, then you're going to have these attitudes. Because you're going to come into a world that has a bad attitude. You're going to come into a world where people are proud. I want you to be humble. You're going to come into a world where people are rough. I want you to be meek or gentle. You're going to come into a world where people don't show any mercy, but I want you to be merciful. You're going to come into a world that's filled with troublemakers, but I want you to be a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Peacemakers. He's going to have a lot to say about making peace. You know, that's the three options we talked about, right? We can come into the world and leave them the way that they are. That's not making peace. That's allowing the trouble in our world just to continue to exist. That's being a bystander. Jesus said, I want you to be a peacemaker. I don't want you just to stand by and let the world go on and let the world be the way it's always been. Let everything in the world just go on as it is. Jesus said, I want you to make a difference. I want you to make it better, and you make it better by being a peacemaker. Or we can make it worse. We can join right in with the troublemakers. We can say, I can make a little trouble of my own. I can give you my 2 cents worth as well. We can add to the fray. You ever see that happen on Facebook? Open up a discussion. Whew. So I just have to start deleting comments. You have to just close it down sometimes. Why? Because somebody's determined, I'm going to make some trouble. Jesus said, I want you to be a peacemaker. You need to make peace. Now, later on in this context, he's going to talk about loving your enemies. Verses 43 through 48, I believe it is. He's going to talk about loving your enemies. He's going to say, this is the way the world says. This is the way the religious leaders around me, here's what they say. They say, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. We can come into the world and we can leave the world the same way we found it. That is, we love those that we love and we hate those that we hate. We never give an inch, we never change, we never change our viewpoint, we never change their viewpoint. We just come in and leave it the way it is. Wasted life. We can come in and we can make it worse. You hate me, I hate you. You mistreat me, I'll mistreat you. You say bad things about me, I'll say bad things about you. You curse me, I'll curse you right back. That's a wicked life. It's a wicked response. Wasn't the response of our Lord, Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing. Or we can live a wise life and say, you can hate me, but I'm going to love you. You can do evil to me, but I'm going to do good to you. You can curse me, but I'm going to bless you. You can persecute me, but I'm going to pray for you. That's what Jesus, that's leaving the world better than we found it. Think about Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 21, where Paul's talking about the Christian life and talking about those that are members of the body and how they're supposed to conduct themselves. And he talks about not being overcome with evil, but overcoming evil with good. And he's talking about not taking vengeance, but committing vengeance to the one who judges righteously. You know, God's better able to handle things than we are. He knows everything, first of all. He is perfectly righteous and perfectly good. He's perfectly just. He's going to do what's right. You don't have any question about that. He's not going to be partial. He's not going to have hypocrisy in his actions or judgments. So just commit it to him. Let him handle it. First of all, he can handle it better than you can. I mean, if they need to be punished, he can punish them a lot better than you can. You can kill the body, he can kill the soul. If they need to be punished, he can take care of that. Leave it to him. But in that context, Paul says this, and this is my favorite part of the context. Paul says, if it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men. I like that first part, if it be possible. Because God never expects of me or you the impossible. Now, with God, all things are possible. With God, nothing is impossible. But with me and with you, there are some things that are impossible. And he says, if it be possible. Because some people won't be at peace with you. Some people won't live peaceably with you. You can say the right thing. You can do the right thing. You can go and do everything within your power, and they still aren't going to be at peace with you. So he says, if it be possible, as much as lies within you. If there's not peace, don't let it be on your part. Let it be on their part. If there's trouble between you, let it be because they want there to be trouble and not because you want there to be trouble, or not because you're not willing to work on it, or not because you're not willing to change, or not because you're not willing to bend. You let that be on their part. As much as it lies within you, with all the power that you have, you live peaceably with all men. That's a challenge. And I fail pretty often with that one. Anybody ever blown their horn at you? Ooh, what do you do? Blow my horn right back at you. You cut me off, I'll cut you off. You ride my bumper, I'll ride your bumper. Right? That's kind of how we act about things. Is that making the world a better place? Is that making the road a safer place? No, it's not doing any of those things. If I'm going to make it a better place, then I'm going to have to try to live peaceably. I'm going to have to use everything I've got to show restraint and show self-control and to handle myself properly, even if you don't. I got to be a peacemaker. Can't just sit back and let it go on. I can't add to the problem. I've got to try to make it better. Got to be a peacemaker. Romans chapter 12 and Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, the Bible says, "Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." Follow after or pursue things that make for peace. Am I pursuing peace in my relationships? Am I pursuing peace with my coworkers? Am I pursuing peace with my neighbors? Am I pursuing peace with my brethren? Am I trying to make peace? Am I trying to leave things better than I found them? Am I going to leave them just the same way I found them, or the way everybody else does it, or the way everybody else leaves them? You know, Will Hall could have left the trash on the floor. That's what everybody else does. But he didn't. He said, "My football program is going to be known for something more than that. We're going to leave it better than we found it." You know, in the context of Matthew 5, 43 through 49, where Jesus there is talking about loving your enemies and what you do toward them, he said, "If you love those that love you, what reward do you have? And if you greet those that greet you, what do you do more than others? What separates you from other people? What makes you stand out? What do you do more than others?" It's a good question for us. What do we do more than others? What do they remember when we leave, when we go? They should remember us for peace. In the second place, if we're going to leave the world better than we found it, then we're going to have to be a salt shaker and a light giver. That's Matthew 5, 13 through 16, where Jesus is going to say, "You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, it's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men." Jesus said, "I want you to be a salt shaker." What does salt do? Does salt leave things the way that they were? I guess it could make it worse if you put too much. But generally speaking, what salt does is salt makes it better than it was before. You add a little salt and it makes it better. It makes it taste better. It makes it go down better. It makes you want more of it. That's what it does. That's the nature of it. It leaves it better than it found it. Jesus says, when you're in this world, I want you to be the salt of the earth. I want you to leave it better than you found it. I want you to use your influence for good. No man lives or dies to himself. Everybody has influence. It's a question of how are you using your influence. Are you making things better or worse? You're leaving things the same, or you're changing them for the good? That's what Jesus says. I want you to be a salt shaker. He says as well, I want you to be a light giver. You're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill which cannot be hidden. Men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Jesus said, let your light shine. Be a light shiner. Be a salt shaker and be a light shiner. Let your light shine. Be a city that's sitting on a hill. Be a city that breaks the darkness of the night. Be a city that allows the traveler to find his way home. Be a light that makes a difference in this dark world. Don't be under a bushel. That's a wasted life. You put your light under a bushel, that's a wasted life. You put your light on a candlestick, that's a wise life. That's a life that's making a difference for somebody. What about our lives? Are we making a difference for somebody? Are we letting our light shine? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, Paul's going to say to those brethren that you be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Paul says, I want you to be blameless. I want you to be harmless. I don't want you to make this world worse. I want you to make it better. You're in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You're in a dark world, and I want you to be a light in that dark world. I want you to leave it better than you found it. Are we leaving it better than we find it? Are we dispelling the darkness of our world, or are we adding to the darkness of our world? Are we sitting back and just letting the darkness exist and go on unbroken? Or are we saying, let me see what I can do to make it better? Let me let my light shine in the workplace, in the school system. Let me let my light shine in my neighborhood. We sing that, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to what? I'm going to let it shine all around the neighborhood. I'm going to let it shine. I don't know how you sing that or how you grew up singing that, but wherever we grew up, wherever I preached, we knew all the little towns around us. And so we'd say, let our light shine in Katy. Let our light shine in Cypress. We'd just name all the neighborhoods and all the areas, and we'd say, let this little light of mine hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Why? Because I want to leave the world a better place than I found it. The only way I can do that is by being a light giver and a salt shaker and making a difference in my world. Notice in Matthew chapter 5, in the third place, I'm going to leave the world better than I found it. I want you to look at this, and this can go, I guess, hand in hand with our first point of being a peacemaker, but I want to go in a little different area, different way. That is, if I'm going to leave the world better than I found it, then I'm going to have to be a cheek turner and a second miler. I'm going to have to be those things if I'm going to make the world a better place. Jesus talks about it. He says, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you, turn to him on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him twain. Jesus said, somebody slaps you, slap them back. What he said. Just turn to them the other cheek also. Somebody taps you on the shoulder and says, here, carry this heavy pack 1 mile. That's what happened all the time in the land of Palestine. Roman occupation. The Roman soldiers had packs that weighed anywhere from about 80 to 100 pounds. And they had the privilege of tapping some local citizen on the shoulder and saying, here's my pack, carry it for me. And they were compelled, forced, to carry it 1 mile. You can just imagine when you tap somebody on the shoulder and that person grumbles and complains. Nothing they really can do about it. He's got a sword. They don't. He's got the power of the Roman government behind him. They don't. Pick the pack up and carry it. But I guarantee you, you're counting the steps. I guarantee you, you're looking for the next mile marker. I guarantee you, as soon as you get there, drop that thing and walk off mumbling and moaning. Taps another guy on the shoulder who happens to be a follower of Jesus Christ. He says, carry my pack. No groaning, no mumbling, no complaining. Picks up the pack. He starts to carry it. As he's carrying it, they start a conversation. So where are you stationed? How long you been there? Where you headed? You got a wife? You got kids? What do you like about being a soldier? What do you hate about being a soldier? Just have a conversation. And eventually the conversation turns to bigger and better things. You ever heard of a man named Jesus? Did you ever hear him teach? You know, he worked a lot of miracles. Made our world a better place. They get to where there's that mile marker. They just keep walking, keep talking. The Roman soldier's thinking, he missed the marker. I'm getting an extra mile. It's that much less I have to carry for that much longer. Or maybe the Roman soldier, because he's got a friendship now, says, I know you probably missed it, but we passed the marker. You don't have to carry it any further. I appreciate it. And the Christian says, that's okay. I'm enjoying our conversation. It's good to get to know you a little bit. It's good to get to talk to you about these kind of things. I'll walk with you a little further. I'll carry a little further. I'm not tired yet. Or maybe he says, you know what? My master told me to carry it too. I'm going to carry it the extra mile. Or maybe he says, you know what? I had a burden a lot heavier than this pack, and it was weighing me down. And Jesus came along and said, let me bear that for you. And he carried it all the way to the cross. He took away my burden. So this is pretty easy for me to bear yours because of what he did for me. That's leaving the world a better place than you found it. Remember Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan. Man was robbed and left for dead on the side of the road. There was somebody that beat him up and robbed him. That's leaving the world worse than you found it. That's wicked. That's a wicked life, wickedness. What about the priest and the Levite? They came walking down through there. They saw him, but they didn't help him. Passed by on the other side, kind of got a little distance away from him. I'm headed to the temple. I got a lot of things to do today. This might be a trap. The guy might be pretending to be injured, or they might be hiding in the bushes ready to jump out and get me too. That's leaving things the way that they are, right? Leaving him on the side of the road, leaving him beaten up, leaving him robbed, leaving him to die. That's leaving things the way that they are. That's another option that you have. Or you can make things better than you found them. That's the Samaritan. That's the one that went over to him and took him up and put him on his own beast. He had doctored his wounds, took him to an inn and said, he paid for his stay, and if when I come back through, it's longer than we thought it would be, I'll pay you for that too. It's leaving the world better than you found it. Question is whether or not we're going to do that. Or we're going to be the priest and Levite that leaves it just the way we found it. Or we're going to be like the robbers that leave it worse than we found it. Look at the context with me. Matthew chapter 6. We're moving to Matthew chapter 6 and the Sermon on the Mount. Well, notice just one verse from Matthew chapter 6. At least one idea from Matthew 6. Jesus gives the model prayer, and a part of the model prayer is what Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Matthew chapter 6, in the context of the model prayer, that's verse 12. And he continues talking about in verses 14 and 15, he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So the next thing that Jesus says, if we want to leave the world better than we found it, is we have to be a forgiver. Forgivers leave the world better than they found it. You're not going to find a lot of forgiveness in the world. Just not. I'll remember it to the day I die. I'll quote those words back to you over and over and over again. It's the mentality of the world, right? How are we going to leave the world better than we found it? Well, we've got to be a forgiver. We've got to be willing to forgive other people because of how much we've been forgiven, because we want to be forgiven. I don't know anybody who's ever, or could ever, or will ever do as much to me as I have done to God. I don't know of anybody who will ever need his forgiveness of me as much as I need forgiveness of God. I want to be forgiven of God, and so I'm going to be forgiving of you simply because I want to be forgiven. I'm going to leave the world a better place. I'm going to leave the world with forgiveness rather than grudges, rather than bitterness, rather than getting even. I'm going to forgive because I want to be forgiven. And I understand that if I don't forgive, I can't be forgiven. That if I'm unforgiving, then one day I'm going to face a God who won't forgive me. Jesus talked about that, right? Matthew chapter 18, 21 and 22, Peter asked a question. It's a good question. Not all of Peter's questions were good. This one was. Peter says, "My brother sinned against me. How oft shall I forgive him?" Good question, Peter. I've asked that question too. I've thought about that as well. Do I have to forgive? How many times do I have to forgive? And then Peter says, "Till seven times." Good answer, Peter. I think it's a good answer. The rabbi said three times. The fourth time, you didn't have to forgive him anymore. Up to three times, you had to forgive, forgive, forgive. But not that fourth time, you didn't have to forgive him anymore. So Peter took three, doubled it, and added one for good measure and said to seven times, "Lord, look at how forgiving I am. I've doubled the rabbis, and I've added one. I'm so forgiving. Lord, I'm leaving the world a better place than I found it." Jesus said, "Peter, till 70 times seven. Peter, you're way short of the kind of forgiveness that I want you to show in the world." A lot of people are willing to give a little. I don't know if you do this or not. This is kind of something probably weird about me, among many things. Stay in hotels a good bit. I won't give my mom credit for it. She'd probably say, I didn't do this at home, so why am I doing it in a hotel room? But anyway, when I get ready to leave a hotel room, I do some things. I do some things because I'm the one that stayed in that room. And I don't know if they'll ever know my name or look up my name, but if they do, I don't want them to think bad things about me. And I think about the person who's going to have to come into that room and going to have to clean that room. And so I gather up all my trash. I don't have anywhere to put it other than to kind of collect it in a place. But I put everything in one place so that when the maid comes in to clean the room, there's all the trash. I gather up all the towels and washcloths and kind of put them in a pile in the bathroom floor so they're all right there. You don't have to gather them up. They're just right there. It's my way of trying to leave things as good as I can. I can't quite get them back to the condition they were in when I came into the room, not cleaning the shower, not cleaning the toilet, not doing any of those kind of things, but I am doing what I can do. Trying to leave it a little better than it otherwise would be. What are we talking about in this forgiveness? We're talking about, I'm going to do what I can do to be forgiving. And I may do little things, and maybe Jesus is asking of me bigger things, but He's asking of me, leave it better than you found it. And in Luke chapter 17, 3 through 5, He continues with this idea of forgiveness, but He expounds on it a little bit, shrinks it down to a day, and He says, if your brother sins against you and he repent, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turns to you and says, I repent, then forgive him. Peter said seven times, and he was probably thinking about over a lifetime. Jesus says, no, seven times in a day. You let your husband or your wife be snippy with you, be angry with you, be cold with you, seven times in a day, and tell me what your response is. Let them do it one time in a day and tell me what your response is. If you start adding to that, Jesus said seven times in a day, and they turn and they say, I'm sorry, forgive them. Why? Because you're trying to leave the world a better place than you found it. The only way you can do that is if you're a forgiver. Because if you're a rememberer, and you remember everything that's ever been said, and you remember everything that's ever been done, and you're never going to let it go, you're not going to leave the world a better place than you found it. You're going to leave it at best the same way that you found it and probably make it a little bit worse. One final point. That's Matthew 7 and verse 12. We'll get to chapter 7. Golden rule. You know, you got to be a golden ruler. You want to make the world better than you found it, then you've got to be a golden ruler. Therefore, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. Isn't It doesn't say do to men what they do to you. That's the same, right? That's one of our approaches. We can be the same way they are. You do something to me, I'm doing it to you. Or we might even be worse. We might say, I'm going to do it to you before you can do it to me. Jesus says, No. Whatever you would that men do to you, you do to them. Jesus says, I want it to be better than that. Not only do I not want you to do the bad things to them that maybe they do to you, not only do I want you just to be passive and not make any difference in these things, Jesus says, I want you to do good. I want you to do to them the good that you want them to do to you. I want you to think, how do I want him to treat me and then treat them that way? That's what Jesus was saying in Matthew 22:39, where he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. What would you want your neighbor to do? You're out of town and your trash can's at the road. What do you want your neighbor to do? Grab that trash can and pull it back up to your house. Get home and the trash can's not on the road anymore. That was a sure sign you weren't home, right? Every robber that passed by there. That trash can, it's not trash day. Why is that trash can still down here? He must be out of town. It's there the next day and the next day. They don't know that because your neighbor said, I'll get that trash can and pull it back up to the road for them. Maybe your neighbor comes over and cuts a little bit further in your yard. Not because he's making a point because you haven't cut your grass. But he's saying, let me help you out a little bit this week. That's what we're talking about. That's what making the world a better place. What do you think? You know, there's a cleaning staff, University of Alabama, for those locker rooms. They come in after the game and they come in and they came into that visitor's locker room. It's already done. Somebody's already done it. We're getting paid. Somebody already did it. Right? It's leaving it better than you found it. And that makes an impression on people. When you carry that Roman soldier's pack an extra mile, that makes an impression on him. When you don't mumble and groan about it, that makes an impression on him. When you make peace instead of trouble, when you try to be the salt and be the light instead of being the darkness or the bitterness of the world, or you turn the other cheek and you go the second mile and you say, here's my coat also. When you do that, that makes an impression on people. There are a lot of reasons why the early church grew as rapidly as it did. But I'm convinced that one of the reasons why it grew as rapidly as it did is because they left it better than they found it. People took notice of that. Let's be those people. Win or lose, long drive or no drive, let's be those people that do the little extra, makes a difference. That they may glorify our Father which is in heaven. If you're not a Christian this morning, we invite you to become one. The plan of salvation is simple. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent and turn from your sins. Make the good confession of who He is and that He was raised from the dead. And then be immersed in water. Have your sins washed away. He carried the burden that you couldn't carry. He came and gave you forgiveness. You're a child of God this morning, and you read Matthew 5, and you say, if I died right now, how would I leave the world? How would I leave my family? How would I leave my wife? How would I leave my co-workers? How would I leave the people in the congregation? Would I leave them the way that I found them? Would I leave them worse than I found them? Or would I leave them and things be better than I found them? Because that's the difference we're all supposed to be making in the world. Living a wise life, a life that leads to differences rather than just a wasted life or a wicked life. If you need to come this morning, come as we stand and as we sing.